Well, good morning. My name is Lizzie. I'm the Director of Student Ministries here at Countryside Covenant Church, and I get to share with you this morning. So we've been covering Countryside's, the Covenant's core values. So I'm going to be talking today on humanity, being made in the image of God. So what is our purpose? What does it mean to be human? How many times have these questions been tossed around in the course of humanity? How many philosophers have pondered these big, deep questions? How many authors or poets have written books or lines of poetry trying to figure out this question? How many epic movies have been made by filmmakers in pursuit of humanity? What does it mean to be human? And the ironic thing is, us as believers who believe that the Bible is God's holy word and that it is true, we have had this answer all along. So this morning we're going to be looking to the scriptures to answer these two questions. What is our purpose of humans? And then out of that purpose, what is our calling? How are we supposed to live out our life based on the purpose we have been given? So these are two really big foundational, fundamental questions that I believe the scriptures has been pretty clear, very clear and simple. But when I say simple, don't confuse that with easy. Simplicity does not always equate to easy. So let's start back at the beginning in Genesis 1. We'll be in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And throughout the course of today, I'll be reading from the NLT. So that is what will be, that translation will be up on the screen. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So we see here that humanity was not created on a whim or as an afterthought. Men and women are created with intentionality and were created for the sole purpose of being made in the image of our God. So what does that mean to be made in the image of something? Imago Dei. That is a Latin for the image of God, and it describes this unique connection between humanity and God that is like no other creation. Author and pastor John Piper says, images were made to image. Images are created to image, to show something, to reveal, or to be an embodiment of something. So you think about the 7 billion statues, I don't know if there's that many really, around the world. So when you create something, when you create a statue, you create it for the purpose so that everyone who looks upon it is reminded of who that is, what they're about, what they stand for, their character qualities. And that's what we were made to do. God created us to display, reflect, communicate, and to be an actual embodiment of what he has done and what he's like. But because our God is a creative God and a loving God, we aren't just statues. We're not just a memorandum of what he has done. We're not this big, untouchable, hard thing. We actually get to be the life of the Lord here on earth. We get to do what God does. We are an embodiment of who he is. We see this again in Psalm 33, verses 13 through 15. It says, "The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do." We turn to Psalm 8, 3 through 9. It says, "When I look to the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them, yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims in the ocean currents. Oh Lord, your majestic name fills the earth." So how does the majestic name of God fill the earth? It fills the earth through us. the image bearers of God, made with complete dignity and purpose. Image bearers of God. We were made to be supremely happy in Him and enjoy Him forever, and to show off to the world who God is simply by being who we were created to be, His image. So there's another illustration that Pastor John Piper gives that I really love. So imagine that we are created as a mirror. So picture this mirror right here, the reflective side on the front, and on the back it's not a reflective side, it's just black. And we're sitting pointed up to our Heavenly Father, and we're adoring Him, and we're seeking Him, and our eyes are always upon Him, and we're catching the reflection of the Father looking down on us. And then that reflection shoots out to the world around us. The light of God covering us, pouring down, and then doing what a mirror does, which is reflect. But the fall of man in Genesis 3, something happened. Satan convinced Eve to flip that mirror over, to turn from God, to doubt Him, to doubt His goodness. So the back is now facing God. And our life is a mirror. It still exists. It's still a mirror. But it's no longer facing our Creator God. So that instead of reflecting the light, instead of adoring Him, instead of abiding in Him and being in this constant connection, we have turned and we cast this shadow on the ground in the shape of ourselves. And we fall in love with our own shadow. We shape it, we mold it, we try to maintain it. Everything becomes about us. We fall in love with who we are and what we're about and seeking our own happiness. But at that moment that we turn to Jesus, when we hear the calling on our lives, when we repent and turn towards Him, that mirror gets turned around and two really incredible things happen. The first is that we see the glory of God again. The glory of God never left. It never went anywhere. But we turn and we face it and we adore it and we embrace it. We feel the warmth and the light of God pouring over us and our lives. And then secondly, we do as what mirrors were created to do, is we reflect. And when we begin to reflect our Savior, we love and we think and we feel and we speak in a way that shows off the brightness of the glory of God. We did not lose our image of God because sin happened. Every single person, regardless of whether or not they have given their lives to Jesus, is equal in value and equally loved by God and holds innate dignity and likeness to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when our hearts are not turned towards Him, we are missing out on what we were created to do, which is to reflect and grow in the character of God and who He is, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, God saved you, saved us by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. So none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. It has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. So I see two parts to our humanity. The first is being made in the image of God and to show off God and all His goodness just by being who we are created to be. And then we've been given a job to do, and that is to do good and make disciples and do everything in the name of Jesus. Glorify Him in our word and our thought and our deed as we walk along our days. Not so that we earn points or that we focus on our good behavior, but as an overflow of our relationship to Jesus and remembering who we belong to. That we are an image bearer of the King of Kings, and that in itself is what gives us our drive to live the types of lives we're called to live. So that leads me to point number two, our calling of our lives. Sometimes I think we stress so much or even over-romanticize this idea of a calling, and we confuse a calling with a job or a vocation that we're going to do for work. And the scriptures have made it pretty clear what our calling is. Our calling is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us. And surely he is with us always to the very end of the age, and he is by the power of his Holy Spirit. We are an image bearer with work to do, not a work doer with an image to maintain. If we're trying to do good works to earn our image, it's the same as having our reflection down the black side to the Lord, casting this vision, casting this shadow, trying to shape and mold the perception that we're giving off to people who we're about. And that's exhausting. We can never work hard enough to prove we are worthy of being made in the image of God. So please stop trying. Never can we do that. I tell my students all the time, Christianity is not behavior modification. You will never be able to work hard enough to prove that you're worthy of being made in the image of God. You are an image bearer with work to do, not a work doer with an image to maintain. And we do have work to do. But it's an overflow of the work that the Lord has already done radically in our hearts. And we can't help but share the good news of the gospel and what God has done. Because when we are facing him and we are receiving light from him and reflecting that out, the Holy Spirit is going to show off and do what he does. A miraculous work in our hearts as image bearers. We see in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, in Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, it says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources. He will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is our calling. This is the second part of this. Our first is our purpose. And what is our purpose? It's to be made in the image of God, holy and pleasing to him. This is what we get to be. And it's also how we get to be certain of who we are, of how we're wired, of how our brain works, how our giftings work and our passions. There is no room for comparison or doubt or fear that we are not enough or that we're too much or that we're too loud or we cough too loud or we sneeze too loud or we're too emotional or too quiet, too introverted. If the Creator determines who I am, I can be certain of myself. And if I am certain of who I am, insecurities have no place in my life. We get to walk in God-gifted confidence, not shallow confidence that we create, that we mold and work for our own shadow to look like. God-gifted confidence, because we know who we are made to be. And everything I do, and in every season of life that I'm in, whether I'm 4 or 14 or 24 or 44 or 64, your purpose does not change and your calling does not change. Looking at Colossians 3, it's actually one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. So we're going to dive into this. We are going to read 17 verses, so buckle up, okay? So sink in a little bit. Have your highlighter ready. Colossians 3, 1 through 17. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, if you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you, having nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds and put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So remember at the beginning, and I said our call is simple, but it's not easy. Right here, this is our calling. So if you get confused about who you are or who you belong to or what our life is about, come back to this scripture. And everything you do in word or in deed, be a reflection of Christ as an image bearer of our God Almighty. Now, this is not just one long, exhaustive list of things to do or to don't do. We're not following a legalistic religion. That is not God's heart. If we are made in the image of God, that means that we image Him, who He is, what He's about. If we are His essence and the Holy Spirit is growing these things in us, so this taking off of these pieces, it's not because God is trying to punish us or to not give us a fun life. It's because He is none of those things. Those are not of His essence. He is not impure or lustful or evil. He is not greedy or malicious or speaks in vulgar ways. He does not lie. Therefore, we were not made to do these things either. He created us for more. He created us to be kind-hearted and merciful and humble and gentle and kind and patient, to forgive others and to live in unity, because that's the kind of God He is. And we were made in His image with His essence as image bearers. That's what this means. Why in the world would we choose to be an image of evil when we get to be an image of holiness? So your seasons of life are absolutely going to change. But that doesn't mean that your identity in Christ changes. The calling on my life has always been to make disciples. And that was when I was single, or if I'm discipling my four beautiful babies at home when they are little, or whether I'm walking a student through doubt in their teenage years, or Nick and I are giving premarital counseling to a young engaged couple, or just walking alongside life with my husband. I am always called to be making disciples and being a reflection of Christ and living in community as the family of God, sons and daughters of the King, and not forget to meet together and pray together and worship together and making much of the name of Jesus in everything that we do. And sometimes that is under the umbrella of a paid vocation in a church like I am right now. But other times it was under just a regular old roof. And for those of you that are not in a vocation of ministry, you still have the same calling as well. Wherever the Lord sends you, wherever He has you, that is where you live out your calling to make much of His name and to enjoy Him forever and let your life be an overflow of the gospel and point people to Him. Sometimes He might send us out to the very ends of the earth, but for the majority of us, He has us planted right here, surrounded by our local community that we're doing life with, and that does not mean that our mission is any different. the stay-at-home mom who's pouring into not only her children, but meeting women at the park and talking about things of Jesus and working on memorizing scripture, the teachers in the schools who are pouring into young people. For those of you that work at Pfizer or Vega or the refinery, you've got a team of guys you spend day with, team of women you spend days with. Those are your people you're pouring into, having conversations with, breathing life into people. Those enjoying their retirement years, drinking semi-decent coffee at the Y and taking classes. I see you guys playing pickleball. Inviting people to play pickleball and talking about your day, what God is doing in your life as you're coming and going. You men who are in the scriptures together in Bible studies, then the overflow is let's find some young husbands and walk through life with them. The women that are taking those Bible studies together, let's find some young women to walk alongside life. That is discipleship, regardless of what season of life you're in or what home you're living in. Fully relying on the Holy Spirit to do the heart work and trusting that we have our identity sustained by Him. He is our sustainer, and He has brought us through our life of sin and selfishness when we were staring into our own shadow, thinking that we're so great, making ourselves the point of our own little world, when in actuality, everything is 100% about the glory of God. And even though it is completely 100% about the glory of God, we get to be called co-heirs with Christ, children of God, chosen. We get to be image bearers and participants in that glory, not just watching the glory of God unfold. We are participants, completely unmerited, but covered by His grace. We get to lead these incredible, missional, intentional lives because we are created by an incredible, intentional, missional, and powerful God. You are an image bearer with work to do, not a work doer with an image to maintain. And by the grace of God, we can walk in the newness of life, glorifying Him and enjoying Him forever. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed by Your goodness, that You would choose to dwell among us. And it's so easy, God, to get caught up in feeling that we are broken, that we are not worthy, that we are out here just trying to struggle through our life. But when we remember the purpose and intentionality that we get to be the essence of who You are, we can never earn that. We can never work hard enough for it. God, I'm so thankful for this body of Countryside family who's here this morning and all the ways that we are gifted and all the ways You are working in and through them, through every conversation, through every job, through every time around the dinner table, anytime people get together and play sports or lift weights or go golfing or get together and play music. God, You are present in every cup of coffee. Thank You, Father, that we are Your image bearers with work to do, good work to do. And we just want to give You all the glory and honor. In Your name we pray, amen.